Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly, as we are every Monday. Tonight at 6, the Jordan Mailata Show live from Chickie's. Me, Elliot Shore Parks, and Jordan. And then the Players Lounge at 7 with Ike, Hugh Douglas, Elliot, and this week's guest, Landon Dickerson. That is every Monday night here at Chickie's in South Philly. An amazing win yesterday after what looked like was going to be one of their worst losses in the last couple of years. Relive it all here with this amazing montage produced by Buzz.
It's home sweet home for the Eagles. Lincoln Financial Field, where they've won 11 straight games. Today they will be challenged to keep it going by the also 2-0 Los Angeles Rams. Back goes Stafford. He's going deep. He wants Adams. He's got him for a touchdown. 44 yards, Stafford to Devontae Adams. Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. They've got him. McCullough coming in on Hurts, and he didn't have a prayer. Pass comes out in the flat. Williams is going to dance it in. Automatic. Timeout on the field with the score, 26-7, Rams. He's going deep down the far side of the field, and it is caught. A.J. Brown down near the 30.
That's where you need to go with the football.
Hurts steps up again. He is firing. It's caught. It's a touchdown for Dallas Goedert.
That's what the offense should look like. Now we're clicking.
Back goes Hurts. He's going for Brown. Touchdown! Inside the white pylon.
You've got A.J. Brown out there. He's in a one-on-one. That's a winning situation.
It's fourth down and one. Can they stop him? Tight formation. Nobody split. Down the cool in motion. Handoff goes to Williams, and they shut him down! They stop him in his tracks! This is another short one, 36 yards. Here it is. Ball is spotted. The kick is blocked! It's blocked! And it's bouncing around in the Eagles' helmet. They blocked the kick! It is fourth and goal. This is the game right here. Hurts looks. Hurts fires. Complete! Touchdown! They take Smitty. The lead, Smith.
Smitty.
It's Smith, Devontae Smith. Smitty. Into the end zone, they take the lead. Eagles are going for two. They lead 27-26. These 2 points are important because otherwise the Rams can march down and beat them with a field goal. Here's Hurts. Back again, he fires, it is incomplete. Intended for Devontae Smith, so we will have to breathe a little heavier. Hold your breath. They blocked them the last time. The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! George Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked them again!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked them again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
Do you believe in miracles?
The Rams are standing silent. They can't believe what just happened to them. Successive field goal blocks. Win it for the Eagles. What a great, great game. What a great, great comeback. and the final score is 33-26.
Now, can you imagine? You're the Rams. You play the Eagles in the playoffs last year, and you lose the way that they lost. You spend the entire summer thinking, we want to get those guys again. We want revenge on those guys. You think you circle the game on the calendar. You get to Philadelphia. The first half goes the way that it goes, and the game ends the way that it ends. I mean, talk about an they had an opportunity. Now, it's not revenge if you win a regular season game after the Eagles beat you in the playoffs. But for a game that you have circled because of the way that game went last year, for this game to go that way, the Rams must hate the Eagles more than any team in the NFL. More than the Cowboys, more than the Giants, more than the Chiefs. The Rams, I can just imagine. What a long flight home that must have been for the Los Angeles Rams yesterday.
Yeah, that had to be deflating. For that team, for about 2.5 quarters, they felt like they controlled that game. They controlled the Eagles' offense. But that's what championship DNA looks like. Championship DNA looks like we always feel like we got a chance to win the game. And that's what the Eagles showed you. And that's a culture thing. That's something that's built within the culture. When we talk about a losing culture and you find ways to lose games all the time, I'm not going to name franchises, but there are franchises out there that we associate with just losing or finding ways to lose. The Eagles have become a team, quite frankly, under Nick Sirianni and under Jalen Hurts. I won't go back into the long history because we've been winning a long time around here. Between those two guys, they've established this winning culture where you feel like you can win every game and you're in every game. And that is priceless. That is not something that's easy to quantify. It's not something that you can bottle up. It's something that's within everything they do in that building and what they believe on that sideline. And I do believe Jalen, after that touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert, there was a fire lit in him. And you saw his reaction.
He smelled blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I read his lips, I think, for the most part.
And can you repeat it?
What I gathered was,
yeah,
this is what the bleep we need to be doing. Like it was almost like he looked at the sideline and he was mouthing the words, something to that effect. Either this is what we bleeping need to be doing, or that's what the bleep I'm talking about. Something to that effect. You go watch the game. But you'll see when they show him, he's mouthing that towards the sideline. I'm not saying in an angry manner, but it's more in a manner of
hyping everybody up.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is what we can do. This is what we need to be. And then you saw him go on the sideline after that, and he's dapping everybody up. He's encouraging everybody. He goes over there to Petullo. So that's the stuff we didn't see in 23 from Jalen.
And it's
everybody was monitoring his sideline sort of reactions to everything, and it didn't seem like he was enjoying winning. That we need more of that right there from him.
Well, that's what the organization wanted out of him. Lane Johnson said it after, you know, in between, I think leading up to the season last year, that's what they wanted out of him. And it's clear. We are not in the locker room. We're not on the sidelines. But all you need to do is watch him during games, even watching him in the press conferences and the after game availability. That part of him is different. And I think whether it's winning the Super Bowl, whatever it is, has empowered him in a way to maybe loosen up a little bit and start to own what the quarterback is supposed to be.
I'm all about the mama mentality. When we're jumping around celebrating, I need you in there. I need your energy as well. You can
when Jordan Davis blocks the field goal.
I mean, listen, it's cool. He didn't have a reaction, whatever. But I'm saying, bro, like, that offense needs something. And if the receivers aren't getting the football, they can't bring you that type of energy.
Yeah.
So, and it can't just all be Saquon and waiting on Saquon to get a big run to get everybody going. So they're going to need you at times. They're going to need AJ. AJ had it after a few catches that he made where he was hitting his chest and hitting his, like, we need that type of stuff, man. We saw it was a lifeless offense in the first half.
I mean, it was as bad as it could possibly be in the first half. That was as bad as I've seen it.
They didn't get a first down after the first quarter until the third quarter.
I know.
I mean, how many drives did they go where they went three and out, three and out?
While the other team wasn't punting, by the way.
Yeah.
The other team kept scoring points. Now, thankfully, the Rams were not good in the red zone. They were kicking field goals rather than scoring touchdowns. All right, 215-592-9494. Huge win. What does it mean for the rest of the season? Coming up next, we will hear from Coach Nick Sirianni. I think, maybe I'm wrong, I think this could be an interesting press conference from Nick Sirianni. Now, I've said that before. It doesn't always come to pass, but I think this might be a good one. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. This fall, enjoy Chickie's seasonal favorites, A.J. Brown's Sweet Heat Wings, Chickie's Sliders, Savory Buffalo Shrimp, and more. Nick Sirianni coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. You got to be here tonight. 6 o'clock is a Jordan Mailata show. Jordan will be here right here on this stage. And then at 7 o'clock, it is the Players Lounge. Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shortparks, and this week's guest is Landon Dickerson. In moments, you will hear Nick Sirianni talk about yesterday's big win. The coaches' press conference is brought to you by PDQ. I lost it. There we go, the great folks over at PDQ. Brought to you by PDQ Signature Systems. For the best in restaurant, hospitality, or casino POS systems, trust PDQ. Visit PDQPOS.com. I think, Ike, the question that I am looking forward to being asked the most to Nick Sirianni coming up in moments is, what was the difference between the first half and the second half? And when he filibusters that answer and gives you a non-answer, I want somebody else who is an Eagles beat writer to ask him the exact same question, and I want them to keep asking it until he answers it. And I think another question would be, did you discover something in the second half that you think can help the offense moving forward? I think those would be good questions for Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a simple way to answer it. The game dictated that we changed up our course of action.
Yeah.
I mean, they were down 26-7, especially after that, the sack on Jalen and the fumble, and they got the touchdown on the very next play. You're down 26-7. The crowd is booing.
Yep.
Like they wanted to boo you off the field, by the way, justifiably so. So you had better change things around. You better do something different, at least show that you're about to be aggressive. So I honestly think that's what they were attempting to do coming out of the locker room with that first drive. But again, they were down inside the 20-yard line. I thought that was is that where AJ got the ticky-tack personal foul? And it backed him up. And I think the sack came after that.
Maybe, because he got sacked right around the 10, right? It was somewhere at 15-yard line, 10-yard line.
Yeah, I think they got like a penalty on AJ, a personal foul. That was nonsense. A referee see a DB and a wide receiver doing that. It was on a Saquon screen play, and AJ was blocking. And then they called the last little
push
jab that AJ threw. That was nonsense. That set him back, and then the sack happened on Jalen.
Yes.
And then the fumble. So I think they were trying to come out and be that way, but the first play, I think, went to Saquon. The second play went to Saquon, and then they went to then he had the fumble that led to that. But getting out of that game plan and becoming more aggressive and realizing that you don't really have time to try to establish a running game now. You got to give the Rams something differently, and that's what they did. And I think, like I said, it's Petullo calling the plays. He just called a different set of plays.
And passing the ball, a lot of times we have talked about people will say Jalen's ability to run allows Saquon to run easier. And I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But also what we saw yesterday is passing the ball makes it easier for Saquon to run. Because we saw bigger runs from Saquon after they started passing the ball and open the field up a little bit and give the defense something else to think about other than Saquon Barkley. Saquon he's been fine the first three games in terms of results. He looks fine to me.
Yeah.
But,
well, he looks completely healthy.
Yeah.
He's hitting that B button almost every run.
Yeah, there's spins every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think, you know, last year after the Tampa game last year and the bye week, that is the inflection point of when the offense changed. I am thinking, we don't have a bye. Maybe this is the inflection point. You know, maybe being down all those points to the Rams and seeing what they did in the second half, maybe this is the inflection point. Just like last year we had the bye, maybe it's the second half of the Rams game.
I think AJ's comments after the game, forget about who they were directed to. The fact that he said it is the truth.
Yeah.
And they need to hear that and adhere to that. So the whole idea of being conservative coming out, you have other guys that you can be aggressive with.
Here is Coach Nick Sirianni.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Coach, thanks for taking the time for us today. We're going to start with Rube and then go to Brooks.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Hey, Rube.
Hey, they had some drives into the red zone early. They got field goals. I think they had a drive to the 10, to the 15. At the time, it just seemed like they were scoring more, but as it turned out, those stops you got in the red zone and keeping them to field goals were huge. So two-part question. Number one, how big was that? Getting those stops, and what makes this defense so good in the red zone?
Yeah, obviously the defense there kept the game manageable at first, in that first half, because we didn't have great field position, and then we weren't doing anything on offense to change the field position. We punt it back to them. We talk about in backed up football a lot that defense, if you get a stop, that usually leads to points, and their defense was getting stops. But those points were 3 points as opposed to 7, which is a huge difference in a game like that. So I really believe that the way that we played defense on those short fields kept the game close where we could make the surge that we did at the end of the game. So just excellent job there. Our guys do such a good job of matching routes and talking through, all the different combinations that we get and being on the same page of how we match everything out. Sometimes down there in the red zone, the space, obviously, not sometimes, it always shrinks, right? And so now you have that extra defender on the sideline, you have the extra defender in the back end line. And we've just done a really good job there, on the one, I think they were 3rd and 2 and they ran it in, but Jalen Carter created some havoc up front and they ended up holding them on that, which made it a 3rd and 10. And then again, another good match in the secondary. So, but it is about, I know what we talk about a lot, Rube, offensively is being able to move the ball up consistently in the red zone. That moment you get behind the sticks in the red zone is the moment where it's going to be really hard to score. And we did some good things to limit runs down there. We did some good things to force a penalty, and then we did a good job of matching routes.
We'll go to Brooks and then Elliot.
Hey, Nick. When you were speaking about AJ yesterday, it seemed like you were emotional while speaking in length about how he's carried himself. I'm wondering, among all the many things we talked about the last couple of months, why that subject had personal significance to you.
Yeah, you know, I got emotional yesterday in the locker room with just the handling adversity. You know, and I thought that our guys did a really good job of you know, dealing with adversity throughout the game and just keep getting up. And I think, you know, that was definitely one topic of where I, you know, I was a little bit emotional yesterday because these guys are going to have to, you know, it's not just a football thing that, you know, you're hoping that you're helping guys become better men as well, you know, with the stuff that you can learn through football, being tough, being detailed, being together. And so, you know, they just kept getting up. And then I think, you know, there's so many outside things that can sway our thinking, I think, too, and that we don't want to live like that in a football building, right? We want to be committed to our process. We know that it's not going to be immediate results. We want to be team-oriented because being team-oriented, when I say that, isn't just good for the team. It's good for, you know, individually too, right? For everybody, because in this sport, you need your teammates to make the plays that you want to make as an individual. And so, you know, I think it's just, you know, those are two things we've talked a lot about. And again, like I said, I felt like AJ really handled himself with, you know, with a lot of maturity. You know, and I listened to the thing yesterday, and I'm, you know, what I think he's trying to say in that manner is, you know, we talk a lot about being on the attack on offense and not really worried about what they do on defense, because what we've been seeing as a good offense has been a lot of different stuff that you might not be able to prepare for. And so that's how I kind of took what he said yesterday also. But I think he's just done such a good job of, because I'm not sure he's went through the last 2 weeks without answering those questions every day. And I just, you know, you love when someone's able to answer the bell after going through ups and downs. And that's why I said what I said earlier, as far as being able to handle the dog mentality of getting through the downs and picking yourself back up. And I kind of correlate what AJ, you know, was, you know, had to go through too in that same category, which is, that's just always something that, you know, hits close home to me, is handling adversity. For many different reasons that I won't get in here to today, but that core value always means a lot to me. That toughness, particularly that mental toughness core value, really, really means a lot to me. And I think that's probably where you saw my emotion on that yesterday, Brooks.
We'll go to Elliot and then Ed.
Hey, Nick. There's been some speculation that yesterday in the second half, Jalen was calling the plays and Kevin Petullo maybe wasn't as involved as he normally is. I was wondering if you could clarify if there was any truth to that. And then secondly, what have you seen from their working relationship this year as they get more games under their belt together?
Yeah, Kevin called the plays yesterday in that second half. Jalen, but make no mistake about it, like, Jalen does a great job of communicating. Jalen sees the field really, really, really well. He can come back and tell you what happened without even looking at the picture. And then you look at the picture, like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Jalen has a great feel for how that's going. And so there's communication, right? There's talk through it, you know, everything like that, you know. But, yeah, Kevin called the plays. You know, Kevin will continue to call the plays. But I love the communication that we get from Jalen. I love the communication that we get from, you know, all our guys. I think, you know, we get a lot of good information from our guys, Jalen particularly. And that's the way it should be. He's a quarterback. But you don't trust every quarterback. You know, you trust the ones that they're telling you what they see. And Jalen does a really good job of telling us that in the game. I really like the relationship that they have. Probably a better question for them, so they can. But I always, you know, I know they're close. I know they spend a lot of time together talking through the plan. I know they spend a lot of time together going through situations. A better question for them, but I do value that relationship that those two have, because I think they're really lockstep and do a great job of, you know. I know they both care about each other. I know they both want what's best for each other. I know, you know, Kevin wants Jalen to succeed. and doing everything he can to help him do that. So I love that relationship that those two have.
We'll go to Ed and then Dave.
Yeah. Hi, Nick. After the game, Jalen gave an interview to Pam Oliver and said that it seemed like they're playing not to lose the game. I mean, do you see any of that creeping in at all in these first three games? And what's your assessment of that?
Jalen said that. I'm sorry, Ed. He said that about the Rams?
No, he said that to Pam Oliver, that we have to get out of this playing not to lose, that you played so many different styles in the first half. And I'm just wondering if you see any inkling of that. Do you see any of that creeping in, that, you know, whether it's inadvertently the playing not to lose type mentality, playing a little too close to the vest?
Man, our guys did everything they could do to scratch, claw, and win that game. I think it goes back to what I said with AJ, what we talked about all week, what Jalen talked about, what Kevin talked about, particularly in that offensive meeting, is when you get – when you're good on offense, I know I've said this to you guys a bunch, when you got the guys that we have on offense, you're going to see, and you're explosive in different ways, you're going to see stuff that you don't see on tape. And what we said all week, you know, particularly Jalen and Kevin, and obviously I thought that this as well, was we're the offense. We got to be in this mode of attacking. And that's what our mindset was. And, you know, obviously the first half didn't play out that way for multiple different reasons. But I think that's what, you know, you guys can ask them, but I think that's what Jalen's saying there. I think that's what AJ's saying here. But what I definitely felt from our team is there was this supreme confidence, especially as we started to chip away, right? You know, we had a bad first half. Then that second half starts like, all right, let's go. We regrouped, let's go. And it got worse, right? It got worse. But then they just, all I saw a team doing was doing everything they could do to find a way to win this game. And man, I'm just so proud of the guys, of how hard they worked, how they just kept getting back up, because it wasn't like, right, we talked about how the second half started. But then it wasn't like stop, score, stop, score, stop, score. There was a little bit of that, but there was stop, score. Then it was they drive, field goal block. All right, boom, we drive, turnover on downs, right? So it wasn't – there was still this adversity in there, because it didn't happen just like that. And so all I saw as a team is just kept getting back. All I saw from our team and our coaches – was guys just continuing to fight, getting back up, and shoot, that ball could have bounced a different way yesterday, and we could have very easily lost that game. And hats off to the Rams. It's a good football team. But I just saw our guys just continue to fight over and over again. Now, again, we have a lot to clean up. Like, we can't play that way and win consistently. So that was the, you know, when we got in there today, that was the mood of the whole thing, right? And I told you guys this yesterday. Yeah, we're going to celebrate like crazy on Sunday, but tomorrow we're going to tell each other the truth and get back at it. And that's what today was all about.
We'll go to Dave and then Tim.
Nick, when it comes to Jalen being assertive during a game like we saw yesterday, how much has he grown in that area, just the comfort with the coaching staff and with Kevin in particular?
Yeah, I think, again, like I said, he's always had a good relationship with Kevin, regardless of Kevin being the coordinator or not. And Jalen's always saw the field really well. Obviously, he gets better and better and better as reps that he takes throughout his career. I think a lot of quarterbacks are that way. And so we've always valued his, you know, what he sees out there, you know, because he can really tell us what, you know, what he sees out there, and, you know, even better than a picture can show it when you're looking at it. So that's a really good asset to have as a coaching staff, because, again, you know, Jalen does, you know, there's all these things that he does so well that helps us win football games. You know, that's just another one, right? Of the way he can communicate and talk to us of what he's seen. And again, that's what you need. That's what you want out of your quarterback. I'm glad we have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts that does that and consistently does that.
We have time for a couple more, so we'll go to Tim and then finish with Zach.
Nick, the record overall, 19-1 in your last 20 games, last 17 that Jalen has started and finished the game have all been victories. What kind of things do you think about that come first and foremost to your mind when you think about that kind, that level of sustained success that you guys are on right now?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tim. I guess the first thing that comes to mind is our detail wasn't what I wanted it to be yesterday, right? And our team feels that same way. And the reminder of, hey, we play like this, you know, you forget going 19-1 or whatever it is. You don't win the next one or the next one when you play like that. Like, I think about, you know, we've been a detailed team that's had that sustained success. Obviously, we have great talent, but we have a team that plays together and tough and detailed. And yesterday wasn't detailed enough. So that you say that, and then that's the first thing I think of is like, well, if we're going to do that again, we can't be the type of detail that we had yesterday. And that's from coaches, that players, everything. I don't think I did a good enough job yesterday. You know, I take a lot of pride that our fundamentals are what they are. And you know, obviously good players allow you to be able to do that. But, you know, and I say that by saying, you know, we put them in these positions to execute their fundamentals. Obviously, again, their talent is what it is. But then it's my job as the head coach. Anytime I say, hey, the detail wasn't right, I'm the only person I'm looking at is, you know, is myself first, because I feel like I hold that to, hey, if our detail's not right, I put so much time into that as the head coach that I really, you know, I don't like when that looks like that, because I know that I didn't do my job well enough. And I say that with the kickoff return, right? I didn't put those guys on the kickoff return in enough positions that week, again, me, because, you know, by fielding those kicks and even going back. Now, you know, you learn from that, and all I'm thinking about is how we're going to do that moving forward and get better at that moving forward, you know, because it'd be the same way if we didn't have a catch and drag on the sideline on a catch or miss tackles. And so when you said that, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I maybe you probably wanted a different answer there, Tim, but that, you know, it's like all those things, you judge yourself coming out of a game. Did you play to the standard of your culture? And, you know, win, lose, or draw, did you play to that standard? When you consistently play to that standard with the talent that we have and the talent that Howie has given us, then we know we can, you know, we can put ourselves in best position to see. But when you don't, you know, those don't happen without, you know, playing to your standard and the talent that you have. So that was the first thing that came to my mind, Tim, when you asked that question, is this, we got to be more detailed, and it starts with me. And anytime there's missed tackles or drops, or we're not fielding the ball clean on that, you know, I look at myself first and foremost, because that detail and that fundamental is my job.
We'll finish with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. We see special teams drills on Wednesday and Thursday, but how much time do you guys spend during the week on field goal block? And then a second part of that question, some of the top D tackles in the league don't necessarily play special teams. What is it about Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis that they're part of those units?
Yeah, and I want you to flip it to the other side, where Jordan Mailata and Landon Dickerson and Tyler Steen, where they all those guys play field goal too. I think that's just the selflessness of our football team. You know, Cooper DeJean plays on kickoff. Jalix Hunt plays on kickoff, right? And so we just have these guys that are willing to do whatever we need to do to win football games, whether that's sacrificing some one place or the other or playing special teams, and it's no different there. You know, and I think you look back, like some of our good pushes from the last couple years, you have Jordan Davis on it, you have Jalen Carter, you have Brandon Graham on it, and it's like, oh, you know, Brandon Graham's a 15-year vet, and he's still on this, boom. You know, it paints, you know, all those guys, and I give so much credit to, you know, the Jason Kelsey, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, of, you know, them carrying that culture, and now, you know, and Lane, and now all the guys that we have now of carrying the culture. And it's just, you do, it's team, it's together. It's something that, you know, it's one of the things, hey, you're looking at your detail after a game, but you're also looking at how you played together. You know, I thought we played extremely hard yesterday. I thought we played extremely mentally tough yesterday, extremely together. Our detail just wasn't there. I think of it in that way. And those guys, man, what a good rush that they had, two rushes that they had. And really, that just doesn't turn on, you know, in the moment. If you look back at all the field goals, they're rushing like that, you know, and all the extra points, because they know those can change a game. So I think I'd say this too, that Jalen Carter has worked himself back into being, you know, is getting himself back into the best shape of his life. And Jordan Davis, there's been a lot of talk about how he's in the best shape of his life. But you saw that yesterday in the sense that the very last play of a dogfight, where you're, and sometimes when you're in the bottom of the dogfight and you're trying to fight your way back up, it's even more tiring. But in the moment like that, they were still able to give this extreme effort to help us win the game, because they still had stuff in their tank, because they've worked their butts off to be in the best shape of their life. You know, you look at a play that Jalen, and again, we talked about Jalen having to continue to get better at that, and he worked extremely hard at that this week, and he'll continue to work hard at that. But you're seeing him come out of the stack, getting strip attempts on the football. And so I loved how hard we played, and those two guys showed that. You know, I love how hard we played as a team, and those two guys showed that all the way till the very end, which ended up helping us win the game. And then we didn't need Jordan to scoop and score, but he did. And he had the energy and to be able to finish that off as well.
And how much time do you spend on field goal block during the week?
A lot, just as much as we spend on field goal. You know, and so we talk about that a lot. We're in a lot of that. You know, Coach Clay does a really good job of separating out the time, you know, for special teams, and, you know, with the walkthroughs and the practice and the individual drills. So that he does a really good job there, and we spend quite a bit of time on that.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate your time today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There we go. There is Nick Sirianni's press conference. Now, we give Elliott a hard time, yep, oftentimes on the show, but credit where it's due.
100%.
Credit, you know, with Eagles Nation basically saying that Jalen Hurts called all the plays in the second half, Elliott stepped up for everyone and asked Nick Sirianni if Kevin Petrullo was as involved calling the plays in the second half as he was in the first half. Now, you heard it. You really have to see Nick Sirianni's face to get the full picture of his reaction. He gave a good answer to Elliott. It was almost as if Elliott started talking a different language. That's what Nick was looked like this. Like, he was like,
What
kind of question is that? But I appreciate Elliott asking it. And Nick confirms that, yes, Kevin Petrullo was calling the plays in the second half and will continue to call the plays throughout the season. 215-5. Oh, go ahead, Ike. What are you going to say?
I'd say it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. But it also shouldn't be a surprise that some people feel like that's what was holding Jalen back.
Sure.
Was the play calling. No, it, I think
it's a little of both.
Well, they had no choice but to throw caution to the wind.
Yes.
Unless you were just throwing the towel in. You don't throw the towel in the rest of the game and keep calling the same game you called in the first half.
Yeah.
Or you got to switch some things up.
Yeah, when you're not worried about, I said earlier in the show, when you're down that many points in that point in the game, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Right? What's the worst that happens? It doesn't work, it's almost or it turns it's the ball over.
What's worst if you don't be aggressive?
Because then you're just giving up.
Yeah, you just gave up.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, they were going to go down swinging. I'm just happy that they all played well on that side, and now maybe that gives them all the confidence that maybe we can start to be a little more aggressive and assertive earlier in the games. I know Nick sort of danced around what AJ had to say after the game. And, again, I don't know who AJ was directing that at as much as he really was saying the thoughts that are in his head and what was on his mind, that, dude, we don't have to play conservative football. Give us a shot, too.
So they asked Nick, too, what he thought of Jalen saying the same thing about trying not to lose.
Yeah.
And Nick seemed that he didn't think there was any chance Jalen had said that. He said, oh, the Rams said that? They're like, no, Jalen Hurts said that. And, you know, Nick's good at giving answers.
Yeah.
But, yeah. 215-592-9494. Robert in Collegeville, you're on WIP. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Robert?
Man, well, first of all, one of the best games I've seen in a regular season for sure. The emotional roller coaster yesterday was just so, as you can imagine, I'm sure, same thing with you. But at one point, this looked like, what type of team is this? Is this a world champion or is this, who are we watching? And then to see that in the second half, I just have to say that for all the criticism I've also dished out on Jalen Hurts, the one thing he keeps showing is that he has some clutch gene, chromosome in him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he just turns it on. It reminds me of some of the greats like Tom Brady and all, when you used to watch their games, and it was almost like inevitable that they will pull it through.
Yep.
And it's crazy to have somebody like that on your team now. Because other teams must be feeling like that. Like, I heard you just say that. Like, can you imagine Rams losing that game going home? How they must be feeling? Because they had the game completely dominated.
Yeah.
And then just in a quarter and 1 quarter and 3 minutes, we turned it back on. But I promise that I'm not going to bring up anything negative. But I do have to mention the something is wrong with our offensive philosophy, because even hearing Nick now, he's talking about process and everything, and I'm just thinking, how much is it that it's Nick's directive that, hey, this is our identity, we have to stick with it, we have to stay risk-free, and that's what's really generating? Because I've never seen Kevin Petullo that much, so I don't know what his play calling is like.
Yeah.
But, and given that...
It certainly is an extension of Nick. To your point, it's hard for me to believe that Nick doesn't have influence on the offense.
100%.
So he's definitely impacted what they're doing.
100%. And, I agree with your opening remarks, Ike, that we don't have to be in this situation to open it up. It's not going to happen week after week that we'll win these games.
Yeah.
And the worst case is when you lose one of these in the playoffs. So when we have a offense like the one we have, we should be dominating teams right from the get-go. What's wrong with winning 30-10 like Buffalo is beating up on bad teams?
Yes.
That's what we should be doing.
Yes.
That's what we should be doing.
I agree with you, Robert. I have to imagine, if I'm guessing, and I know this is my opinion and my opinion only, but if I am guessing, Sirianni thinks about 23, and he thinks about the beginning of 24. And he thinks about the fact that when they opened up the offense, they had turnover problems.
Yeah.
And he is reluctant to do it again because he doesn't want to put them in that situation. And if you do it, if you give it a try, this is not necessarily what I agree with, but what I think. If you give it a try and it doesn't work, it's so much harder to pull it back, because then teams really know you can't do it. At this point, teams think maybe they're not going to do it. But if you go and you try it, you turn the ball over a bunch again, and then you get conservative again, then the other teams know you don't want to throw, right? So I think that's where they are. The mistake, I think, in that is at some point, you're going to have to decide and figure out if Hurts can do it. if he can, throw the ball more and score a bunch of points. Because you're not going to want to go for the next 10 years and think to yourself, we have a quarterback that we're worried about giving the game away all the time. That we're more worried about turning the ball over than scoring points. So my advice would be, or my thought would be, try it. Because you're not going to be able to conserve. You're not going to get the same Saquon season this year. You're just not, because other teams are prepared for it. And last year was magic. So you just have to see if you can do it. You can't conservative your way to a championship this year. It's not going to work.
And the defense isn't good enough.
I do want to say something about Saquon, if I have like another second or so. I'm so disturbed at the way they're running him. They're running. Just watch the tape from last year. They're not stretching the line. He's most explosive when you stretch the zone and you give him space on the outside. And they're just not doing it. I keep seeing them trying to run him inside. That's not his game. That is not his game. You can go back and see him in Giants. He is explosive when you stretch and you take him outside and he finds those gaps and then he's gone. And they're just not able to do it. I don't know why.
Well, thank you for the call, Robert. Yeah, they've done a lot of two tight end stuff and try to run out of that. Look, the offensive line is not playing as well this year as they played last year. They're an incredibly talented offensive line. They're still one of the best in football, but they have not been as good this year as they were last year. And I think the defense is prepared for it.
And banged up a little bit.
Yes. Landon's banged up.
Landon isn't 100%. Now you have an issue with Lane and his neck.
Yep.
So it's, I mean, last year's line was just better.
Look, last year was a magic year from an offensive line and running perspective. You're not going to be magic every year, you know, and they're going to have to – I hope that this game was a wake-up call to them, just like the bye week was a wake-up call. And by the way, last year we had the offensive line telling the head coach, we need to do this differently. Maybe this year is the year that we have the skill players telling the head coach, we need to do things differently. Give it a try. I don't know. Just what's the worst that could happen?
Work last year.
Yeah, work last year. So 215-592-9494 as we talk about an enormous, actually shocking Eagles win. Donovan McNabb joins us next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.